I'd actually never heard of that. So I'm glad Marshall has confidence. No, I'm kidding, of course. Okay. I did want to let everybody know, I was hoping Ryan Clark would be here because this is usually when I goad him into sending some of his kids to camp. We're going to have the youth camp coming up here in a couple weeks. I know Ryan's on his way, but so share this with him, everybody. Okay. Down in Greensburg, Indiana. Sorry, Elijah, but not a lot good happens in Indiana, but the camp is good. So, where is he at?
I don't think he's in here quite yet.
See, we had this whole system worked out. See, okay, when I point to where he would be, you got to say amen then. Okay? So, nothing good happens in Indiana. Amen. All right, so we're good. No, but we are having that here July. It's not too late to register kids if you want. Oh, I'm not turned on, am I? There. Okay. Could y'all hear all that, or do I need to go through the whole Indiana thing again? Start over. Indiana guys are saying skip it. So just wanted to kind of remind you guys that if you have any questions, just get with me afterwards, okay? So guys, we're going to start off today in Galatians chapter 6. And I'm just going to read verses 11 through 18. Now, just kind of set this up for you a little bit. Obviously, in a lot of the letters that are written, especially those, you know, that are written to these churches, the letters are designed to try and transfer their mindset from one position to another. That's usually what they're about. And so the same thing happening here in Galatians. The Galatian church is struggling because people are coming down, Judaizers are coming down and trying to implement the old covenant, trying to implement circumcision specifically into all that's going on here. Okay, and so I wanted to read this to you. This is specifically dealing with that circumcision. You know, when we're looking at this, we have to understand that we're looking at a major barrier between these two. This, if you will, it's racism or some kind of ism, okay? And so the Jews never liked the Gentiles. The Gentiles were separate from the Jews and all that wonderful stuff that was going on. And so God chose that out of the process of all this to create a new people. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at here just to start off with. So verses 11 through 18 says this, and it says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Let's pray for a minute. Almighty and wonderful God, Father, we love you and thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity to be here this weekend, to open your word together, to share, to encourage one another, Father in heaven, to reach the potential that you've delivered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that as we look at this today, we can get an understanding or a furtherance in our understanding, Father in heaven, of what it means to be a new creation through your Spirit. We thank you for all things, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was saying, of course, I think you probably picked out the verse that I was going to focus on the most, which is then, of course, verse 15, "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." See, the Galatian church was struggling because they were actually trying to follow these things. He actually says, you know, I'm amazed you are so soon turned to another doctrine, which is not really another. It's chapter 1, okay? And he's trying to get them to understand that this is about a spiritual people. That this isn't about circumcision or uncircumcision or anything physical. It's about spiritual. And that's what we gain when we come together with the Holy Spirit. I know Marshall has been amazing with me and to me and all that we do. And a lot of you guys have. But him and I have gotten a chance to get even closer because we are in such close proximity. But it's that Holy Spirit, that spiritual people that set us apart. We are two different types of people. Okay? He likes roller coasters. I don't like roller coasters because, you know, I'm putting my life in a 17-year-old kid from Ukraine. I'm putting my life in his hands. And so I get it. As you get older, those things lose a lot of their luster. Okay? I got an amen off of that one. Okay? But because of the Holy Spirit, because we now are created new, those barriers that at one time could have kept us apart, like the age barrier, okay? Most kids, no offense, Marshall. Right now, you'll probably take that, but yeah. At my age, you're a kid. Wouldn't hang out with a guy my age. You know, there are barriers that are in life, and part of becoming that new creation is the fact that we can eliminate these barriers because now we are one people. We are brothers in Christ, right? That's part of what being the new creation is. The problem is, I know we don't necessarily like to talk about problems, but the problem is that most people don't actually believe the new creation exists. And that's wild to me. See, it amazes me that people want to, I've been trying to get this analogy in my brain, okay? I'm a mechanical guy. I like working on things. I like working on cars and stuff like that. And I've got an old 2001 Chevy Silverado 1500, right? It's only got 144,000 miles on it. Yeah. It's a dream machine. No, it's not. Okay? It's mechanically as sound as it can be. If that tells you anything. Okay? And a lot of people, to kind of use this analogy, a lot of people feel that the only new creation that exists in the Scripture is you give the body a paint job, but you leave the engine and the transmission and all the powertrain alone. And so it's still that old, raggedy, barely running machine. Okay? If you don't believe me, it's out here. Okay? But that's what people do. And I always try to talk to people and say, okay, listen, why did Jesus come here? What did he come for? I mean, was it simply to wash away my sins and now I'm good? Well, of course not. Something needed to change. I heard Nolan's message this morning. I was at home at work, and that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? I was at home at work. I do work from home, but so I was listening on the Facebook/YouTube. I don't know. Anyway, but I was listening on there, and I was really appreciative of the things that he was bringing out, see? And it's really kind of the same message that we're talking about even tonight, is the fact that people are estranged from the concepts of the Word of God. And when they're estranged from the concepts of the Word of God, then how are they going to act? I mean, you can put a suit on me, but it ain't going to make me no gentleman. I didn't point. Wasn't an amen moment there. He's like, uh-huh. Yeah, we grew in the faith together, this guy and me. So what does that tell you? Okay. But it's not enough to put on a facade. That's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came so I could be changed. so that I could become something new, something I'd never been before. And, you know, to talk about that, I want you guys to turn with me. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to kind of use this as an illustration again. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And I want to take a look at this maybe from a little bit different perspective than what we're used to. Because a lot of times we read through things and we are looking at these things, and we're looking at specifically Peter and John in this case and what they're doing as they're kind of going now and living as the church, okay, or living as apostles. And so chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, it's actually a pretty common story or a pretty common event. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet, his ankles were strengthened. With a leap he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." You guys have heard this story, right? You have now. Okay? Do we actually believe this happened?
Amen.
Since y'all aren't answering.
Amen.
All right. You missed your chance on the Indiana thing to amen, but that's all right. Okay? Do we actually believe this happened? Because I want to put ourselves in the place of the lame man. Okay? We don't have a problem saying that Peter and John, as they were walking by, saw this guy lame from his mother's womb, and they healed him. Well, God healed him through them. Okay? We don't have a problem looking at that, but think about this guy for a minute. When had he ever allowed it to enter into his mind the concept of walking? From his mother's womb, his entire life has been to be carried somewhere, to beg for money. Something he never even thought. I mean, obviously, maybe he saw people walking and went, "Man, I wish I could do that. You know, I wish I wasn't this way, or I wish I was whole." And so now he has this chance, but I want to look at the ability that God gave him from the get-go. He didn't just get up and walk. He did what? He leaped and shouted praises to God. He was leaping and shouting, and I'll bet running a little bit too, you know. Things he had never, ever even allowed to enter his brain. And now he is abundantly supplied with the ability to do it. Now let's put that in a spiritual sense. See, to become the new creation is to walk in a different way, isn't it? See, it's actually to walk in the Spirit. Is to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit is something before Christ I never comprehended. I was never able to do it. I couldn't get there. I couldn't, you know, and honestly, guys, I didn't know anybody from the true church, so I wasn't ever able to see anybody do it. In case you didn't know, we were raised in a denominational church, and so you definitely didn't get anybody there. Okay? And it wasn't until somebody introduced me to Christ that I was actually able to start seeing it. But then when I came to Christ, I was able to be it. You see, that's the blessing of being this new creation. That's what this is, that's what our life is now all about. It's walking in a different way. It's walking in a way that we couldn't comprehend. Now, to go back to this guy that they healed, I would have loved to follow his story after this. I mean, really, I would have loved to follow his story after this, because now he can't go to the beautiful gate and beg. He can't. You understand that, right? He can't go back there. He has to now bear the responsibility of his ability. Oh. Well, isn't that the same for us? In that spiritual sense, we have to bear the responsibility of our new ability. I want you guys to look with me, if you will. 2 Peter 1, just verses 1 through 4. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. By the way, we're going to keep reading in just a second. That's not the physical life. Don't get me wrong. If there are needs, they'll be met. God will take care of. See, like Matthew 25 says, right? Don't worry. Or not Matthew 25. But yeah, it's in there. Okay? Matthew 5. Yeah. Don't worry. Okay? But it's talking about He has given us everything pertaining to eternal life, spiritual life, life in Christ. Because you can tell that when He says He's given us everything, granted us everything, precious and magnificent promise, so that by them we may, everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, I want you to understand something. He's talking to a people that have already escaped the corruption that's in the world. Okay? But He still leaves, I guess, a statement of doubt when He says He gave us all these things so that we may become partakers. Now, there's no doubt we can. The doubt is whether we will. You see, whenever you see these words like may or might, it's usually when it depends on us to fulfill some part of this. Okay? And so it's not enough to say, I've been born again. How you do it? Hallelujah. All right? It's not enough to say that. It's not enough to shout it from the mountaintop. It's not enough if I'm still going out and all I've done is shined up the shell. See, I have the responsibility, I have to bear the responsibility of my new ability. So He says, so that you may become partakers. You see, it's on us to do it. And let me tell you, God has already replaced the core of the powertrain. If you've been immersed into Christ, He's already replaced the core. It's up to us to refurbish the rest, isn't it? To take what He's done and live as a new creation. We've always heard that term, walk the walk and talk the talk, or talk the talk and walk the walk, right? See, I don't think there's anywhere in the Scripture that He says, I want you to talk in the Spirit. Anybody ever seen that? I don't think I've ever seen that. Marshall, have you seen that? Not in there, is it? But I do believe he said you better walk in the Spirit. You better live in the Spirit. You see, we have to take this. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Romans 8, 1 through 11. Okay. Now, I think a lot of us already know that Paul, as he's writing this letter, he's kind of in the first person, kind of giving them an illustration of what it was like to be under the law in chapter 7. Okay, but in chapter 8, I like to call this the kind of victory chapter. This is the switchover or the changeover. Okay, this is what he says. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, as weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. He said, listen, everything before Christ brought death. I think that's probably the simplest way to put that, guys. Everything before Christ brought death. The letter brought death. But Christ brought life. And He brought it so that we could be a fulfillment of the requirement of the law. I love when it says that. See, because the requirement of the law differs from the written on stone, doesn't it? The requirement is the intent of the law. The intent of the law is what God wants, don't you think? Amen. All right, a little late, but you know, we'll live with it. Okay. See, the requirement of the law is righteousness and holiness. The byproduct of that is being this person that people can look at, and while they may recognize that I used to be that beggar, now they see something different. And believe me, a lot of my old friends were amazed. They're no longer around. But things are different. See, the requirement of the law is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in everything that is involved in the Spirit. That's what the requirement of the law is. The byproduct is, you know, we don't have to worry about you know, focusing on, oh, I got to be sinless, but here's the deal, man. I got to fulfill the requirement of the law. In doing so, the byproduct will be what? Sin goes away. See, the only thing I can figure is, for some reason, people want to stay crippled. That's the hardest part for me. is that people want to say, because they actually, they'll say, I believe God took a physically impossible situation and took this man and raised him up on his feet, and he leaped and he ran and he praised God, and people recognized it and it was all amazing. But when it comes to me walking in the Spirit, God can't do that in me. What people have deemed spiritually impossible. You ever wonder sometimes why God did all the things he did in the Old Testament, showed that power, showed those miraculous things, why he did those in Jesus when he walked the earth, you know, why he did it here? I'm going to tell you why, man, because he wanted to show us that with God, everything is possible. If we believe, and by believe, I mean faith. I want you guys to turn with me to Ephesians 2, 7:30, right, Marshall? Okay. Ephesians 2. We're just going to start in verse number 1. And he says this, and he says, and you, by the way, is, and you, you can't yawn and do an amen, man. And you,
amen.
All right, were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. I praise God that he reminded us that that's what you were. That's what you were. Okay? Starting in verse number 4. But God. Two great words, man. But God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. I think verse 10 is a pretty important verse. Okay? And the reason I say that is a lot of times we miss something in there. Is the fact that we were now recreated. We are created. For what? See, that's the question that people have to answer in their mind, isn't it? What exactly did God create me for, this new creation? What's his purpose in doing that? His purpose was for me to now become someone who fulfills good works, isn't it? Someone who fulfills righteousness. See, it's not even a focus about doing good works. It's not a focus about, man, I got to take some food down to the food bank. I got to go over to the soup kitchen. I got to help out because God created me to do good works. There's a lot of people out there that do good works, but they are not doing them in righteousness. There's a difference. You see, when he put his spirit in us, he put his righteousness in us. It says it was accredited to us, right? Reckoned to us, accredited to us. There was a discussion on the word reckoned and imputed a while back on Wednesday night. Appreciate that. But he gave us that righteousness to bring the books even, to put us in the black, and then gave us the ability to stay in the black, didn't he? To stay righteous. That's what we were created for. in doing so, you know what we're doing? We're showing the devil that God is God. We're showing the world that God is God. Let's keep reading. Okay? So that we would walk in them. Verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, you know, they got the same problem in Ephesus that they had in Galatia, except the Ephesians weren't falling for the whole circumcision thing. Okay, it says, therefore remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now. There you go again, man. But God, but now. Okay. In Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off. That answers, I think Nolan had that question this morning. Were they the far off, right? I was listening. Yeah. Okay. What? I thought somebody said, really? Yes, I was. Okay. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole body being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. There's a lot there. I mean, there really is. Quite a bit, okay? Because the part I want to focus on, though, is the part where he says he took the two men, he abolished the problem, and he brought them together, and now both, as one new man, have their access to the Father through the Spirit. Now, those Gentiles had never been able to fathom this before. Why do you think it was so easy for Judaizers to come in and trick them? They had never been able to fathom this, and so Paul is explaining it very well, I might add. Good job, Paul. Good job, Lord. That it's all about the Spirit, isn't it? See, when God put his Spirit in us, when we were obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he put his Spirit in us, he changed the nucleus of who we are. He put his nucleus in us. And from there, that should radiate out new mRNA, DNA, whatever you want to do. And it should radiate that outward if we allow it to happen. And see, that's the beauty of God and the beauty of Jesus Christ. He didn't just save us in principle only. He saved us in purpose. That's what new creation means. And guys, if you don't think God can do it, have I got news for you. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, one of my favorite passages. I have like half a billion favorite passages. This is one of them. Okay? And it says this, for this reason, now obviously the Apostle Paul writing, I want to step down here so bad. Yeah, it's like, then some of you in the back may not be able to see me, but that would probably be a blessing. But anyway, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant, according to the riches of his glory, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I got to do it, man. I got to read verse 20 one more time. Okay. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That's a pretty important grammatical thing, isn't it? That the power already exists in us. Isn't that the beauty of Jesus Christ? Amen? And being a Christian? Sorry.
Amen.
All right. He was on time on that one, buddy. Okay. That's the beauty of this, is that he empowered us. And so this prayer, after Paul prayed in the first chapter that the eyes of their heart would be open, that their understanding would be open, he was trying to express to them, even in his prayer for them, that it's already there. You just have to tap in. That's the new creation. I'm going to tell you, it's real, guys. It's real. I can't even begin to express how real it is. Christ came here to make us new. And that last passage that I read to you guys, the reason Paul was actually praying this was so that they could understand, that they could experience that very same power. That's why he says, I want you to understand the height, the depth, the length, and the width. You know, a lot of times people take that and they'll excuse it and say, well, we want you to understand the height, the breadth, the length, and the width of the love of God. No. Because right after that he says, and to know. Right? So what height and length and depth and width does he want us to know? 1 Corinthians 2 says that we get the Spirit from God so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Nobody knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man within him, and nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, and we receive the Spirit of God. He wants us to understand God. You want to talk about something that's unfathomable. Didn't he say that in there? Oh, that's a little earlier in chapter 3, but he wants us to experience life. I'm about to close out, but I did want to share this with you guys. No applause, just throw money. And Adam, where you at? No jelly beans. But seriously, guys, This isn't something to take lightly. It isn't something to just, man, I've worked so many jobs outside in the world. And amazing when they find out that you go to church and that you're actually a Christian, how many people become religious, isn't it? And I've seen people that will do their hallelujahs on Sunday, and Monday they'll be whoever they are. They'll be their real self. That's not what Christ died for. Christ died so that we're not putting on airs. Christ died so we could walk in His shoes. Thank you.